Good morning.
It's so nice to come to a place where everybody's laughing and talking with each other. But this is really what the church does. It's supposed to. We're supposed to come in and get in your seats, sit quietly, be contemplative. That's more work. No, we are here. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of y'all. This 1-2-3, 1-2-3. We are here on the last day of 2023, and we are here to praise the Lord, and we are also here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father to dawn on human flesh and in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
Aren't you glad that Jesus does have everything in control?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that you are surrounded by the one who is more powerful? The Bible says he is seated far above all rulers, all powers, far above. That's who's on our side.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
time for our responsive reading. Deaconess Loretta's gonna come.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Happy holidays, and I'm glad to be back home.
Amen.
Okay, our responsive reading is coming from Luke 2, 21 through 40. This is a contemporary translation. After 8 days, the time came to circumcise the baby. He was called by the name Jesus, which the angel had given him before he had been conceived in the womb. When the time came for them to be purified according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him before the Lord. Congregation.
That's what the law of the Lord says. Every firstborn male shall be called holy to the Lord. They also came to offer sacrifice according to what it says in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.
Okay. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, waiting for God to comfort Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Led by the Spirit, he came into the temple.
And Jesus' parents brought him in to do for him what the law's regulations required. He took the baby in his arms and blessed God with these words, "Now, Master, you are dismissing your servant in peace, just as you said. These eyes of mine have seen your salvation, which you made ready in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the nations, and glory for your people Israel."
His father and his mother was astonished at the things he said about him. Simeon blessed them. "Listen," he said to Mary, his mother, "this child has been placed here to make many in Israel fall and rise again, as a sign that will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will go through your own soul as well, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be disclosed."
There was also a prophetess called Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having been widowed after a 7-year marriage, and was now 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped with fasting and prayer night and day. She came up at that moment and gave thanks to God and spoke about Jesus to everyone who was waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
Together,
so when they had finished everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong and was full of wisdom, and God's grace was upon him.
Amen.
All right.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for what you've done. We're happy to celebrate you coming into the world. To dwell with us here, Father, to walk with us, talk with us, and teach us.
Yes.
You have allowed us to grow spiritually,
yes,
close to you, Father. We pray that this new year brings us even closer to you.
Yes.
We ask, Father, to touch each and every person that follows you, that believes in you, Father, the body, your body.
Yes.
Touch us, Father. Mm. Heal us, keep us, yes, and let us stay together. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm
in trouble already this morning. We're going to finish off the year like that.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious
always hunger for.
May be seated. Good morning, everybody. All right, so my announcements are kind of all over the place because Blog Talk was not working yesterday. So in place of our Saturday worship service that we would have had yesterday, we're not having anything for New Year's Eve tonight, but on tomorrow at 10 a.m., we're having our Blog Talk New Year's Day service. And it's going to function like it would have been our Saturday morning worship service. It's just going to be on Monday. Okay. So tomorrow, 10 o'clock, New Year's Day service, Blog Talk Radio, be there, be square. Okay. All right. Okay, so today, Pastor O is going to finish up Faith, Finances, and You. All right, so that's that part. Okay. All right, Tuesdays, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall on Blog Talk Radio. Wednesday at 6 p.m., you know, we have our Bible class. You need a book. We're starting in a new quarter. So if you need a book, go to our church website, rfcm.org. Ali, are you up this week?
Yes, I am.
All right. Deacon Oliver is teaching this week. Glad you knew that. Thank you. Kathy, are you back on this Friday? Okay. Bring Back the Family is back on this Friday. Everything is recorded, archived, and free. Y'all know that. We got, over 1,800 of everything on our church website as far as shows and things like that. We have a prayer list that's going to be coming up. Remember to continue to pray for, this one here showed up. Deacon Eric showed up. Praise God. Amen. praise God for that. Him right there. That one back there who came in with the crutches. Okay, we're going to pray for her. Deaconess Rebecca. somebody else. Oh, yes, ma'am. Chardonnay's mother-in-law. I mean, yes. It's on the, okay. Praise God. Amen. Long list. Okay. All right. So that's that. Okay. Yep. Prayers for everybody. Yep. All that. Birthdays. Okay. Carmen celebrated on the 8th. Elder Joseph Stevens on the 9th. John on the 15th. Anita on the today. Okay. 31st. Amen. Okay. I hope I'm not missing anything. If I am, just come holler at me. All right, so your devotional today is entitled, You Can Change Your Mind. Yeah. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Lasting change requires new thinking. The battle for change is won or lost in your mind. Again, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Spiritual renewal takes place in your thoughts and in your attitudes, or in other words, in your mind. Here's how it works. Feelings aren't feelings in themselves. They are a response to a thought. Uh-oh. It's what you think that determines the way you feel, and what you feel determines the way you act. If you want to stop a self-defeating behavior by changing the way you act, then you first must change the way you feel.
Amen.
But you can't just change your feelings and tell yourself, I'm just not going to feel that way anymore. That doesn't work. The only way you can change a feeling is indirectly by going to the root of it, which is the thought. In other words, you can change the way you act by changing the way you feel. And you can change the way you feel by changing the way you think. There is a biblical word for this process. It's
called repentance. Amen. The word repentance comes from a Greek word, this is our Greek specialist up here, metanoia.
Okay, that
part, Google that.
Right.
Meta means to change, and noia means mind. Repentance simply means you change your mind, and that's all there is to it. You tell God that you want to go in a different direction. You ask him to help you choose to think about the right and good things. If you change the way you think, it will change the way you feel, and the way you feel will change the way you act. It's a reversal of your mindset. In other words, a mental U-turn. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, think the same way that Jesus Christ thought. What you think is a choice, and choosing is the beginning of changing. When you put on the mind of Christ and begin to think about the things he loves, then you will start to see your defects, in a very different light. So ask God to help you see him, others, and yourself the way he does, and you will start to see the changes he wants to make in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Our December birthdays is... Yeah, we gonna sing it anyway because they can hear it on the playback. So, y'all just be standing to our feet. And y'all forgot y'all gonna join in on this too. Plus, it gets you ready for offering. All right, for our December birthdays, 1, 2, 3.
Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Each day of the year, may you find Jesus near. Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May his love, peace, and blessing shower you. Oh, yeah, may his love, peace, and blessing shower you.
Happy birthday, December. Amen. It is time for offering. Our deacon will be around with the basket. If you need assistance with an envelope, please let somebody know. And during that time, we'll be singing. Amen?
Amen.
This is like my favorite song that I learned this year. How many of y'all needed God to change some things this past year?
Oh, boy.
How many of y'all just needed God to just bring some dancing back to your life because you've been grieving and suffering? How many of you just needed a way made out of no way? Right? And then you saw God do it all year. So that's why we know this song is a good song for us to finish the year with. He turns graves into gardens, y'all. Can do.
Amen.
2023 has showed you a lot of what he can do.
Amen.
And going out of 2023, some of us need this more than ever.
Amen.
We need to know that he turns mourning to dancing.
Amen.
This week, if I heard of another person, I just shut down yesterday. I said no more. Because just yesterday alone, four people that I know have left here. And so with that, as we go to prayer, there's a lot of grieving going on right now.
Yes, it is.
Even though there are a lot of things to rejoice and be glad in, you can sit down if you want to. There's also a time of sorrow that has to be gone through. See, don't run around grief. Run to the one who can comfort you in your grief. So this week, it just started moving down, and I even left one off. As Crystal was saying, while I was hearing about one person passing away, Lisa texted me to let me know that Chardonnay's mother-in-law has gone home. Let's pray for Jackson and Kennedy, those kids, grandma. And then Melanie, her biological father, has passed away yesterday for her and Rachel, her sister. And then she's going Tuesday to see about her stepfather, who's on hospice. She needs a lot of prayer because anybody, some of y'all got that biological and the man that raised me thing going on. So you understand? So comfort, she needs a lot of comfort and support. And the McClendon family, James and Sarah's grandfather, will be eulogized this week. And then our continuing with Sierra and baby Zendaya will be memorialized this week. And then we found out yesterday that our cousin Karen, her husband Thomas, passed away as well. So for some of us, we know. And then Marissa and the loss of her aunt. You see, that's just the short list.
Yes.
And then also, we do pray for the situation in Gaza. God's not pleased. Lives are being lost. People are being starved and mistreated, and money is being thrown at war instead of relief. Our government needs wisdom in how to deal with this situation, and we need wisdom in how to talk about this situation, because we want to be on God's side. I don't care what the world is saying. And of course, Oliver and Loretta, daughter Tamika, still in the midst, and your son earlier this year. I mean, so that's why we got the folks that lost people throughout the year. And of course, we're focusing on Deaconess Letrius and Vice President Vitrius and Deaconess Carmen and Deacon Eric. It's been our focus all month, and he's here, y'all. Again, good to see Nico. Amen. Stays on our perpetual list. Darius to the top of that list to get the kidney that God has for him. Mother Doris, of course. Our mothers, it's good to see them here. All of them here. All right. And then we have, of course, our college students. Nedra representing the day. Amir representing the day. I think that's the only ones I see in the house. Alex is still home, but. And then Jalen's leaving for Miami Beach next week to go to school. And Micaiah and all of them. DeAndre, all of them. Just keep them in your prayers. But it's time for us to go to the altar. And I'm going to ask Deacon Tate to come and lead us to the altar today. It's always a surprise for most people. Yeah, turn them up. So while he's coming, again, take note of this list. He trying not to come. But it's what happened when you're the senior man, you know. I'm not putting no more on pastor than he got to preach, so I'm not going to burden him. But as he comes, remember, y'all, we don't just listen in prayer. We pray with him. So while he's coming, let's join in prayer with him.
Lord God, our Father, we stand before you right now thanking you. Thanking you most of all that you decided a long time ago that you would make a way for each and every one of us to come back to be with you. But Father, right now, like your servant Samuel said, far be it that we not pray for everybody. You know, Lord, I know you see this list that's up here, because the people that are on that list have cried out to you already. See, like the song we sang, you're a good father. You're a good, good father. You attend to each and every one of our needs. You tell us if we humble ourselves before you that you'll lift us up. But you also tell us that while we're going through what we're going through, that you'll go through it with us. Your servant David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you're with us. But Father, we know too that sometimes it gets a little tight for us. Sometimes it gets to the point where we say we can't go another step. But you've dispatched your angels. Each and every one of us has an angel that go everywhere with us, Father. And their job is to make sure that we're okay. You see, God, there is no other God but you. I was just reading this morning Isaiah when you said you're the only true and living God, but there is no other God but you. So, Father, we really pray for those right now that somehow or another don't believe that you exist.
Okay.
If it's somebody in this room right now, Father, before they leave this place, help them to understand. Because you're the only one. And if they can't grasp it, Father, let them see outside right now where we look outside. The trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that you put into place. Because no other God can lay claim to this. Father, we pray that you comfort those.
Amen.
Those that are going through extreme duress right now, Father. We got a lady up there, a young girl who lost a child, Father. Mm-hmm. And she's just a child herself.
Say that. Mm-hmm.
So we ask that you wrap your arms around us. Help her to understand that you don't make any mistakes.
Yeah.
That you're sovereign. You do what you want to, when you want to, how you want to, Father. But let her also understand, Father, that that child has gone back to the place that she originally came from. Father, we ask your blessing on those that today is going to bring your word, Father. You see, Father, sometimes your word is not a word that we want to hear. Because you see, Father, we don't get into your word and read your word like we're supposed to on a daily basis, Father. Each and every one of us here knows there are times where we say we're not going to do it. But Father, let it be. Let it be that as we go into this new year, Father, that on a daily basis, we talk to you before we do anything. You see, because you already have everything taken care of, Father. We thank you for those that you have healed, Father. We got Deacon Aaron Reed here right now, Father. And just 2 weeks ago, we're saying that he couldn't make it, but he's here, Father.
Amen.
And see, you know, you always show us.
Amen.
You always let us see just what it is that you do for us.
Yes, he does.
Father, we have living witnesses of how it is that you care for us.
Amen.
We got Nicole that beat cancer.
That's good.
We got others that are going through things right now, Father, but they're not telling us openly, but they be. Each and every one of us here has a testimony, Father.
Yes.
We can speak of the way which you have acted in our lives, Father. But right now, Father, what we need is, like I said before, Father, let it not be that we don't pray for each other, Father. Let us continually pray for each other. You see, we know prayer changes things. But you tell us in your word to pray without ceasing, to pray all the time. But rejoice in everything, Father. And yes, when we come to you, Father, we come to you sometimes trials and troubles. But Father, even then, we know that we're your children.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We know, and Father, once again, if there's one here right now, Father, that doesn't understand, that don't know, let it be those of us that do know. Let them see in us just what you've done for us. Mm-hmm. Lord, we love you. But we don't love you anywhere as near as you love us. So, Father, we just ask that you continue to do what it is that you've done for us, Father. And not just us, Father, but every one of your children and all creation, Father. See, you made us like us, you. You made us in your own image, Father. But once again, Father, I just ask that you comfort those, comfort the bereaved, comfort those, but we know too, Father, you're a good God. And once again, you're only true in God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of times when we choose, when we're sitting and choosing songs, I always try to listen to what the Lord wants. And it's something when he confirms it.
Your in the presence of my enemies. Though the arrow flies and the terror of night is at my door, I'll trust you, Lord. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days, and I will dwell in your house forever and bless your holy name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow,
bless you from the house of the Lord.
Thank you.
That's Psalms 128:26. No, it isn't. It's Psalm 118:26. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall, who has prepared another traditional holiday season meal complete with meat and vegetables. So let's get the meat of this word. This message will fill you with wisdom to make wise financial choices that will serve you. This is part three of the sermon series titled Faith, Finances, and You. Part three is called You. The text is Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. So turn or click in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. And it reads as follows. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let us listen with ears to hear how to gain wealth in the upside down kingdom of the Most High. So church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Amen. Thank you, Rebecca. Deaconess Rebecca, we appreciate you. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
Hope you're doing great. Yeah, I'm getting it all together as I come down the aisle. Wait. Amen. Whew, let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give so much thanks today, and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, first of all, for the praise team.
Yes.
They led us as we sang praises to your name. And I thank you, Father, that this is a church of participation and not a church where you come to be entertained, but you actually become a part of the worship experience. So that way you can go home full, feeling better. Amen. More victorious, more it's going to work.
All right.
I'm going to see my way through.
All right.
We thank you, Father, for having kept us all this year.
Yes, we do.
No matter how many hills we had to climb, no matter how many low, lonely valleys we had to sit in thinking you had just disappeared, we're here.
Yes, we
are. None of it was able to stop us.
Okay.
The devil was given all kinds of permission slips from January 1 of 2023 all the way until December 31st. They didn't work. So we thank you, Father, for the victory
that
you've given us. And we are encouraged and look forward to the next year being even more victorious. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I heard Tony Evans say something this morning, and that's going to stick with me. Amen. He asked a simple question. Can you praise God when you're going through?
Yes, Lord.
Because, Jennifer, that's when your faith going to work. It's so good seeing you. Girl, you're so crazy. Amen. She's like, oh, I'm great. Amen. You gotta get through. See, God put you in that situation because if you recognize what Dr. Tony Evans said, if you recognize God's sovereignty, if you get that together, then you know whatever you're going through, God has either allowed it or brought it to you because he knows you better than you know yourself. What do Philippians 1:6 say? Jesus is working on us. And what has Jesus guaranteed us that he's going to do? Carry that work out to completion. Amen.
Amen?
I'm going to be, on the day that I leave here, I am going to be all that Jesus intended for me to be until I left. I won't be perfect till I get to heaven. Amen. You know, funny Christians be walking around like they got it all together. They perfect. They can actually look down on another Christian. I'm better than you. Really? That's like the man who went down to the temple to pray, right? And he was praying, and he was just a Pharisee. And he was telling God about how awesome he had. Joel, I'm just so awesome. I go to church every Sunday. Hallelujah. I pay my tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. And I'm not like Lisa. I'm better than her. Amen. But Lisa, she went to church too. Because I pointed at her, so she was there, right? But Lisa, Jeffrey, you know what she did? She didn't say none of that stuff. I see it. She just said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Then Jesus got to talking. You know what Jesus said? Said Lisa went home justified. I'm like, what about me, Jesus? He disappeared, Marcus. He just disappeared. Amen. Amen. So next year, let's try to see people how God sees them. The Lord sees them this way. Jesus died for them. Him? That one? This one? He said, yeah. If it had just been me, just you, Jesus still would have died for us. Because it is not about us, it's about what he's doing for us.
Thank you.
Amen?
Yes.
He's doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. See, Jesus said, I always do those things that please God. I don't always do stuff. I'm not always. Amen? But Jesus did. So when Jesus imputed his righteousness to us, guess what, Mary? Now, amen, God is pleased with us. If you don't believe it, read Romans chapter 5. You'll see where God has made peace with us. Amen? He ain't mad at us no more. Nedra, we on team now. Amen. The devil can go and accuse us all he won't. And he can be our adversary if he want to be. But he can't win. How embarrassing was it for you to be an angel? One angel came and took out 185,000 people. How embarrassing is it when you deal with a man who ain't even got a Bible, ain't got a pastor, ain't got a church, his name Job. And Job slaughtered you. Job wiped you out. A mere human being who just trusts in God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, our weapons are not carnal, amen, but we tear down strongholds. How? By standing on the word of God. That's what Job did. He didn't even have a whole lot of word to stand on. All he had was an oral tradition passed down from Adam to him. Okay. The mother, he stood on that, tore the devil up. Amen. You know what Job learned? God is sovereign. He ain't just sovereign over me and my family. He's sovereign over the whole earth. Amen.
Amen.
We've been dealing with faith, finances, and you, and we deal with it every single year. Why? Because when people get to the end of the year, they start summing up. Or should. Amen. Yes. What promises did you make in January of 2023? And how did that work out for you here in December 2023? Amen. People always sum up. Some people get sad at this time of year, get really depressed because they look at the whole year like Tamla Mann saying one of her songs, or will this be just another year of misery for me? Amen. 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 So what we want to do, what we want to talk about today is the last installment of Faith Finances in You, and that has to do with you. Amen.
Yeah.
The Lord has made his case for Old Testament tithing. We looked it up in the Old Testament and we dealt with Numbers 18 and we found out why God instituted it and who was supposed to get it, what it was supposed to do. Amen.
Amen.
God instituted the tithe to take care of the Levites and the priests who worked 24/7. 365 in his house.
Okay.
So the Lord has made his case that there is scriptural proof of the tithe commanded by God. We have proof all over the Old Testament as well about offerings. God told them to not do what to their fields that they were planting in?
Wow.
How far should they harvest that field?
Almost to the end.
But do what? Leave a whole corner of it for who?
The poor.
The poor. The widows.
Yeah.
The foreigners. Yeah. The strangers who just wandering through need something to eat. And we know Ruth took part in the offering, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
When she went down to Boaz's house. And Joel Osteen preached a sermon which calls, what was the name of that sermon? Handfuls on Purpose. Saying God will leave you handfuls on purpose.
Okay.
He will provide for you. When you're like Naomi, whose name means pleasant, but life is anything but that. She said, don't call me pleasant, Robin. She said, call me what? Mara. What does Mara mean?
Bitter.
Remember when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt? Amen. They had a hallelujah party, Marcus, over there at the river. They had a hallelujah party. 3 days later, they're ready to throw Moses in the river and throw God under the bus. Why you bring us out here to kill us? What's up? We had plenty. We had it made in Egypt. Okay, we were slaves for 430 years and crapped out, but we had it made. So there was some water there, Tamika, but they couldn't drink it because it was Mara. It was bitter. Bitter as bile, right? So what God did? Moses, get a stick, something that don't mean nothing. Throw it in the water in front of the people. Now drink the water. How many of y'all know it takes faith to drink some water that you tasted and found it to be bitter? But now because Moses tells you, God said, throw a stick in it, you can drink it. Who do you think the first one to drink the water was? Amen. Amen. It takes faith to believe God. You can't just say, man. You think about what was said to them. They know they tasted the water. And the water was bitter. And now Moses threw a stick in it, Nico. And he said, okay, you can drink it now. Yeah, well, I ain't even thirsty right now. I tell you what. You know, Moses, you can't even take a joke. I was joking, man. I got plenty of sweat. I drink that. Amen. Israel never did change. The you part of their sermon never worked for them. God brought them out. God said, I'm taking you to the promised land. Notice that God said he was doing all this. Nicole, all he had to do was believe. All they had to do was stop following what they learned in Egypt and start following what the Lord is saying to them. Personally, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. 2 years, they come to the mountain where God gives them the law. Amen. They get to hear God's voice for themselves because up to this time they got a problem, Deborah, with what Moses said. God told me. They're like, man, God ain't told you nothing. So God said, Moses, get the people together.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to come prove that I told you. Amen. Destiny, when God showed up, you know what they did? They said, check this out, Moses. You talk to God, because I feel funny. I'm feeling some kind of way now, like I'm going to die. You talk to God, and then you come tell us what he said.
Right.
If I was Moses, y'all know I'd have, really?
Uh-huh.
Didn't you just say?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. They never could change, Jonathan. They just stayed the same. They never did come to recognize the sovereignty of God. The Jehovah Jireh that God is, they never found that out. Everything God gave them, they complained about. He just complained over and over and over until the Lord said, watch this though. This is what happened when we don't change. When we hear what God said, and he makes his case plain, and we don't change. God says, since you deem yourselves unworthy of my promises, then go back into the wilderness. Amen.
Okay.
And that's where they went.
Yes.
And then they stayed there for 40 years until every one of them dropped dead that came out that did not trust God.
Amen.
Refused to believe God.
Yes.
Amen. Apart from me, how much can we do? What Jesus said, apart from Jesus, how much can we do?
Nothing.
Nothing. So how far was Israel going to go not trusting God? How far can we go not trusting God? You know where we can go? Grief. We can get stuck in grief. And we can be stuck in grief for years. People who don't believe God can't get out of grief. Amen. To believe God, we have to change.
Okay.
We have to see what God said. If the Lord said, don't worry about anything, Philippians 4, right? Don't worry about nothing. That means you cannot worry. Instead of worrying, God says, tell me what you need. Pray about what? Everything. Okay? And then God goes on to say, amen, remember what I've already done for you. Remember all them times you thought it was a wrap. Remember all them times you wanted it to be a wrap. But what happened? Amen. God stepped in, changed that thing till you got to the next thing. Amen. How do you think Job dealt with the next thing after he went through that other thing? See, Job said, the thing I feared the most has happened to me. Lost my money. Lost my family. My wife been going crazier. Amen.
Crazier.
Amen. And my friends ain't my friends.
Right.
All the time they was hating. Yeah. Job needed to change, didn't he? He needed to recognize God's sovereignty. And when you do that, guess what? You end up with double for your trouble.
Okay.
Amen. You end up with double for your trouble, because that's what happened to him. He got all his kids back. They said his daughters was finer than the other ones.
Wow.
Amen. How pretty are you when God say you're pretty? Now, God didn't say Leah had weak eyes. Amen. The Jacob said she had weak eyes. In God's eyes, she is beautiful, right?
Yes.
Amen. The weak eyes is back. They started the year, we all the way back to the weak eyes. You know, that's a nice way to say somebody ugly. And you got weak eyes. They say, thank you. Yeah, welcome. Yeah, they don't know. They ain't read the Bible. They don't know. Tell them God, you got weak eyes. Amen. They don't know. They think you compliment them. Oh, thank you. Yeah. I noticed that about you. Woo. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. So they never change. They never change. They kids, they went in, got the promised land, but they ain't never changed. You get to Malachi, ain't none of them changed. They went into captivity for 70 years. Babylon was tore up for 70 years. They was there. They came out of there. And they still ain't changed. They already back to their old tricks. They ain't tithing no more. They ain't giving no offerings. God said, you're robbing me. We don't care. I mean, there's a part of there where they said that we're going to start calling the arrogant blessed. Because it makes no sense to do what God says. That's how they spoke about God. Amen? When God makes his case to us that he has commanded tithes and offerings, what do we say? Amen? There's a few verses. Rebecca, go to Malachi chapter 3 and find that for me. I think it's going to start after verse 12, where the people start speaking arrogantly to God or about him. Amen.
Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. You have said terrible things. But you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? From now on, We will call the arrogant blessed, for those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm.
Amen. So this is what the people were saying about God, and this is the reason they weren't giving tithes and offerings. So if the Lord look at your heart, why are you not doing it? What are you saying about God? If the Lord Jesus popped in here right now and said, all non-tithers, come up here and tell me why you don't. Tell me why you don't believe me. Tell me why you won't trust me. Tell me why you won't test me in this and see if I won't. Okay. So the Lord made his case in the Old Testament. He called for the tithes and offerings. He commanded it. They spoke arrogantly against God. Now Rebecca, she want to get back. She done messed her leg up. She don't care about standing up. She just going to do it again. Now she want to go read the verses after the verse she just ended. Now you get to pick. We get to pick which group are we going to be in. And if y'all get upset about this, you know, yeah, the big man might not want to mess with Rebecca. He don't play. I'll go to bat for mine. Go ahead.
Those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. They will be my people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not.
Amen. You see how plain God is? We try to make the Bible like you need to go to school somewhere and sit down with a bunch of scholars and theologians. I mean, it is what it is, right? You got this group over here who's saying, I ain't giving you nothing. And then you got this group over here who's like, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait till Sunday comes. As soon as they get their check, they write that tithes out. And then they go look for people in the community who need help, poor people, not people you're trying to impress. If you want to make God throw up, let him see you go bless somebody who got more than you got. Because you want them to think well of you. Really? Isn't that kind of retarded? Is that backwards? What did Jesus go looking for rich people and say, hey, can I hook you? Let me hook you up with more than what you got. Amen. I think it was said that the rich people aren't there the ones that drag you into court. Aren't they the ones that's taking everything from you? Aren't they the 2% that got all the money and make y'all screw up for the rest? Then why are you trying to love up on them? Go help somebody who can't help themselves. Go find you a leper. Okay? Go find you a blind man. Jesus didn't go around finding people who could see and say, let me knock your sight out so I can hear you. No, he went to find people who needed help. We are something else when it comes to that. Christmas, we get retarded every Christmas. Amen. Poor people over here looking like little Tim. What was his name? Tiny Tim, yeah. God bless us all. Amen. He ain't got nothing. They ain't got no porridge. Amen. They ain't got no porridge, Mackie. Amen. But we trying to give them nothing. Amen. Not even a Christmas duck. Gotta give your boy a duck. I watch a lot of TV. Amen. So we come out of the Old Testament with two kinds of people. One that talks, says God is whack, simply put, and I ain't doing what you say. Another group says, Lord, I love you. I'm doing this. Amen. So we get to pick which group we belong to. Then God made his case in the New Testament for New Testament tithes and offerings. We went to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. And it says, don't you know those who serve in the temple, who is that? The Levites. Amen. Receive from what's brought to the temple. What did the people bring? The tithe that God commanded.
Yes.
And then they said, don't you know that those who serve at the altar receive from what's given at the altar? And who is that? The priest. Amen. Aaron and his descendants, the Aaronic priesthood. Now everybody in God's house is taken care of, right? So he says four words. In the same way. God has what? Suggested. God has, if you will, if you want to, if you can. No, God has commanded because he know you can. God would not command you to do something you cannot do. If you're not doing it, it's because you don't want to. God is not going to. God is God. He ain't crazy. You know how we always asking people stuff they can't do? Loan me money they ain't got. Fix my car, ain't no mechanic. Amen. We're always asking people to do stuff that we do. Yeah, I'm actually one, but you know, we don't tell nobody that. Amen. Okay, Blog Talk Radio people, don't you tell nobody that. Nobody call in my house. Amen. Exactly. We're moving on. Amen. But Paul did say, Nedra, that I don't have to take advantage of this. Amen. And he said over in Philippians chapter 4, I'm giving you an opportunity to get blessed. I don't need what you got. But because God gonna bless you for giving to me, I want that to happen because I what? Want you to be blessed.
Yes. Yes.
But Paul says, look, I got the right to take an income and I got the right to refuse one, just like my wife and myself. The church started in 2003. We worked to 2017. Amen.
Okay.
We didn't start Running for Christ Ministries and quit and live off the church. No, the Lord said don't do that. For the same reason Paul didn't want no money from them Corinthians is the same reason we did it. We didn't want people saying we opened up the church to steal money.
Yeah.
They said it anyway, Jim. Anyway. Cat, they went around the corner and said, you know, they started that church to fund their business. Marcus, that is super retarded. We started the business in 92. We started the church in 2003 so we could fund the business. How the business make it from 92 to 2003? But people said it. They said it. Amen. Amen. We was able to let the salary go so the church could grow, so the church finances could grow. Amen. We were already working. God was already taking care of us. So we didn't have to burden the church with that. And so Running for Christ could get up. And when Running for Christ got to a certain place, the Lord says, if you want the church to be blessed, because I was mad. If you want, I know you like, you're mad. God telling you get paid, you're mad. I was mad because I thought, if I start getting a salary, that's going to reduce what the church has, and we won't be able to do what God wants us to do. But then the Lord freed me. I remember Ananias and Sapphira. They tried to gank God, right? Play him like he was a joke. And they, you know, they made $100. They brought God two and said, this is it. I made $20 last week. Okay? And they dropped dead. But it's what the Lord said to them before they dropped dead. He said, while the money was in your hand, wasn't it up to you to do whatever you want with it? You didn't have to come in here lying to me. You could have came here, gave me nothing, you'd still be alive. But you came up here and played me like a joke, now you're dead. So while the money was in our hands and we were able to do what we want with it, we tied it back to the church. That way the church can continue to go and God not trying to kill Running for Christ Ministries like I thought. I know y'all like, you are retarded. Why would he start it and then kill it? I don't know. That's the way I was thinking. Amen. So the Lord made his case, Old and New Testament, for tithes and offerings. Amen. In the same way he funded his operation in the Old Testament, is the same way. Why would God, what is what? One of God's natural attributes is what? Immutability. You know what that means? Never changes. So why would he change? If it worked in the Old Testament, okay, just because the people didn't do it didn't mean it didn't work. So why would he change? In the New Testament, I'm going to fund it the same way. And those who preach the gospel should earn their living from the gospel. But we get mad that preachers earn their money from the gospel. Amen. But like Paul said, to avoid that, do what you got to do, okay, to keep that off the church so people can't say that about you. I'll take care of you and Sheila, but don't take no money from the church. Because people are going to say you did this to get money. I'm like, Lord, but you know me. That ain't my thing. All I ever wanted was you. I ain't never asked you for no. You know what God do all the time? Mother, he always asked me, why do you never pray for anything? And I say, I do pray for stuff. I pray for people. But as for things, Marcus, I told him, I thought about a race truck. You gave it to me before I could pray for it. I thought about another race truck. You gave me that before I could pray for it. So what do you mean I don't pray for nothing? He's not really asking me to pray for something. Amen? He knows I don't. All I want is him. All I've ever wanted is him. Amen? That's all I've ever wanted is him. Because what I didn't have was the knowledge of him. It's just like when the man fell in the garden. We didn't lose the earth. Everything was still here that God made in those 6 days, right? But what we lost was our relationship with him. That's what I didn't have. I had an awesome mother and father, awesome sisters and brothers. They was my role models. I ain't never had to look outside my house for somebody to be like. And I didn't mind saying, I want to be like my sister. I want to be like my brother. I ain't mind saying that because they was awesome and they are awesome. Amen. So all I ever wanted was him. Amen. My father could get the plan and your food would just mold. He prayed so long. You know, you walk by the room and see my mother down, kneeling down, praying, talking to God. I'm like, how can you talk to somebody you can't see? How can you talk to somebody you don't know? I don't know him. So I became atheist. Amen. Straight up. I used to fuss at God all the time because he didn't exist. So I fussed at him all the time. How retarded is that? You're an atheist, right? Like Ron Reagan, the big atheist. He wants to raise money. He want to raise money so he can go around and prove God don't exist. But you mad at us for raising money to prove he does exist. How stupid is that? And how stupid is a person who would give money to a person who wants to prove that the God he say don't exist don't exist? If he don't exist, he don't exist. You don't need to prove that. And you sure don't need my money to do it. Amen. But this is the wonderful thing about the Lord. He makes himself known. He reveals himself to you. You can't just find out God. God come find you. And wherever you are, he come find you and bring you into his inner circle, right? Amen. Amen. So the Lord made his case for tithes and offerings. And offerings, we went to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we talked about that last week, right? If you give a little, what? Amen. God loves what kind of giver? In the Old Testament, what did he call for? Those who were willing. God ain't broke. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to give us an opportunity to get in on what he's doing. The Lord says that having all you need, you'll be enriched in every way. So that you can. Before I left home this morning, I brought the mail in. Amen. On Sunday. Amen. And anyway, I brought the mail in. Right? Salvation Army. They say they're running short on their budget this year. Can we help? We've already helped them. Amen. But those are opportunities to get blessed. Those are opportunities to help those who can't help themselves. And I'm telling you, Gleaners, Forgotten Harvest, Covenant House, Detroit Rescue Mission, Salvation Army, Bondage Breakers, First Fruit Living Ministries, amen, and Bring Back the Family, block by block. Amen. They're doing these things. Amen. And they're experts at it. They want to do it. Like Cat's kids. He want to be around kids. I'd be like, praise the Lord. Here, take what you need. Amen. Hey, you and Rebecca, y'all be around all them kids. See, I can't even, I can't turn my hair gray. It just won't look right. It just won't look right. I like my hair black. Amen. Other than that, you know, I got just for men. You clip it on and wipe it all over your head before you know it, your hair black. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some people call it a hair clipper. I call it just for men. Praise the Lord. Amen. Takes the gray away. Except it didn't work here. Amen. So the Lord says, amen, be intentional about giving to others. Be intentional. And there's plenty of people who need help. You don't have to go, but let the professionals do it. Unless you can investigate like Lachelle Anderson. She brought us a family that need help. They were here last week, right? Had a disabled young man with his mother. He was autistic, right? And they needed some help for Christmas. And Lachelle did the investigation. She tough. I know she looks sweet and she is kind, but she don't play. She tough. And then we put her and Sheila together. And Lord Jesus, you need to pray for people. Amen. Because they ain't going to be, they don't take no kind of choice. You know how Sheila is, right? So imagine her and Lachelle together investigating somebody. They'd be like, am I finna go to jail? Amen. No. They're just trying to find out. But you have to, professionals know who and what. See, a lot of folks you see on these corners, they're on those corners because they don't want to stop getting high. Okay? And because if you go to the shelter, you're going to have to stop getting high. You're going to have to get rehabilitated. They want to rehab you. Okay? But if you're on the corner, you can get as high as you want, as long as you can get a broken heart Christian to ride back and give you some money. Wait a minute, Sharon done hired you? Lord have mercy, I thought I could just run with it. Not, they done hired Mackie. He my new timer. Hallelujah. And his clockwork. Praise the Lord. So the Lord made his case for tithes and offering. It's a blessing for us. And it helps us to recognize who God is. It helps us to show some love to him for what he's done for us. Now, let me make it clear. I do this every time. Will God hate you because you don't tithe? No. It ain't about that. It ain't at all about God loving you. But Jesus did say this, I believe, in John 16. If you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments. The Lord has made the case. This is tithes and offerings is his commandment. All that's left is, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? Now that we had this information, we know it from the Bible to be contextually correct and true, what are we going to do with it? My pastor used to say, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., I don't know why I say his whole name. Amen. But anyway, amen. Here's the one that led me to putting "Got Jesus" on the back of my car. Because once somebody asks you that, you got to do something with that. That is not something you can just see and sit there and say like you didn't see it. You have to answer. Got Jesus? Yes or no? You have to answer. Amen. This is one of those times when we have to decide what we're going to do. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 simply states, give God your body. That's your reasonable service. Your true act of worship. You give God your body. Amen. Jesus said, if your eyes offend you, pluck them out. When I first read that, I was like, oh, Jesus, you be tripping. I'm plucking nothing out, man. You gotta explain this to me. This can't mean that. But what he meant was, whatever you're looking at, if it caused you to sin against God, turn your head. Amen. Change your vision. Amen. If your hands are causing you to sin, cut them off. If you're going in the store and you're boosting everything you see, Either stop going in the store. Stop getting close to the stuff. Walk in the middle of the aisle. Do like this. Somebody say that. You better get away from me. I'll steal your coat. Amen. In other words, if you're doing wrong things with your hands, stop. In Romans chapter 6, he makes the case that in the first half of that chapter, he says that we are servants of sin and we ain't had no choice before we got saved. We could not stop sinning. But then, when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, then what? We became servants of who? Jesus Christ and righteousness. Just like sin used to tell us what to do, now Jesus tells us what to do.
Okay.
Are we listening?
Yes, I am.
Are we listening? Are we going to? See, the Lord has made his case for tithes and offerings. What are you going to do? After you know what Jesus said plainly, amen, and he has made it clear, what are you going to do? I'm going to close with this. There was a rich man that rode up to Jesus on his donkey one day. There's, you know, they'd be doing like, yeah, he rode up on the donkey. Yeah, donkey. That's how a donkey rode, yeah. You ain't never rode a donkey? That's how they rode. My man stopped his little donkey. Amen. Amen. Because you know, Sarah, they rock a little bit. Amen.
Lean.
So he lean with it, rock with it. That donkey dance. Anyway, he said, Lord. So you know me as Lord. You're calling me Lord. You didn't say Jesus because you knew me from Nazareth where we grew up, right? Jesus was a common name. You called me Lord. What must I do to inherit eternal life? So you believe that I'm the Lord. You believe that I'm sovereign. You believe that I'm God the Son, the second person, not manifestation, second person of the Godhead. So you believe that. Tell you what does the Bible say? This is how you could tell he was a Bible student. He said, well, the Bible say this, and the Bible say that. The Bible say, love your mother and father and all these people and all this. He picked the scriptures that had to do with relationships with people. And Jesus told him what he needed to do, and he said, I've done all that since my youth. Since I was born, I've been doing that. I was a baby. And I was like, praise the Lord. Amen. They didn't know what I was saying because I was a baby. But when I got over there, like, I was saying, praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus said, okay, since you're in good relationships with people all around you, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. He didn't say give all you have to the poor, because we know in 2 Corinthians 6, he says what? Having all that you need. So he didn't have to give away everything, Ed. Just go give to the poor. My wife and I give to Gleaners. We give to Shriners and St. Jude. But not all we have, person. We just give a portion. He said, go and sell all that you have. Come back. Follow me.
Yeah.
See, that's what, now Jesus had made it plain to him what he needed to do what? What did he want? Eternal life. This is how you get it. He couldn't do it. He rode away a millionaire. Oh, Mackie said, I'm out of time. Amen. He rode away a millionaire. Amen. But he was sad. What are we going to do? The Lord has made his case for the tithe and the offering. Are you going to change? What are you going to do? Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, that you want us to be blessed. And for us to be blessed, to get the blessing that you offer for the tithes and the offerings, we have to do what you say. Father, there was a blind man, Jesus, who came to you one day. And he said, you asked him, what do you want? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus, you asked him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And he said, yes. And he got his sight. Lord, we believe that you are able to keep the promises you made concerning the tithes and the offerings. And whatever we've been doing up to this point, we pray, Heavenly Father, in the brand new year that's coming, that you give us a heart and a mind to give you what you've commanded. Help us to be able to do what Jesus said, to demonstrate our love for you by keeping the commandments that you gave us. No greater love, Jesus, you said, can any man have than this, that they would lay down their lives for their brothers and their sisters. Tithes and offerings support not just the church house, but the church community. In the book of Acts, Lord, those who had houses and land no longer were selfish. The Holy Spirit had spread love all throughout their hearts. And they took some of that land, they took some of that excess that they had, and they sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And by the time you get to Acts chapter 6, the only people who are in need are the widows. Everybody else has become gainfully employed. Everybody else has been provided for. And Lord, when the church works like that, we saw in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4 and in Acts chapter 5, the church just continued to grow. Why? Because people wanted to become a part of what was happening in there. They saw the love. They saw the folks who were poor last week, but now they have a gainful employment. And they're able to provide for themselves and for their families. Lord, help us to understand why you've called for the tithe and the offering and what it does to save souls, to teach saved souls, and to help those who are in or outside of the body of Christ. You said it in Galatians 6:10, as often as we have the opportunity, let us do good unto all, and especially to our own brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Bless us, Lord, as we go into this new year, to not be the you that we were in this year, but be the transformed you, so that we can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for us. You're giving us something, but we're acting like you've taken something. Help us to see it your way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have a seat. Shoes on sale at Kmart under the blue light. Girl, your mother.
Our visitors this morning, we thank you. Some folks ain't visitors, they family, but they are visiting with us. Hi, Jenny. But it was good to have you. Good to see you. Grateful to see you. Looking forward to seeing you again in 2024, Lord willing. All right. As again, you look around and you're standing on your feet because you know you need to stretch. Let us remember to pray one for another. But the best way to declare the name is how we, they'll know you are mine if you have what?
Love
one for. So declare his name by how you love each other. It don't mean a bunch of hugs and squishiness and all of that stuff. It means to look out and care for each other. No matter what. So if you see a need, meet the need. We're missing a whole lot of people today, but it's all right. They'll be back in the new year.
If you love him, lift your hands and praise. If you love him, stand.
your name. We will declare your name. And we will tell the world there is no other. We are not ashamed. We will declare. We will declare your name, and we will tell the world there is no other. Jesus, we declare your name. If you love him, lift your hands in praise. If you love him, stand.
Let's receive our benediction, which today is from Augustine of Hippo. Let the just rejoice, for the justifier is born. Let the sick and infirm rejoice, for the Savior is born. Let the captives rejoice, for their Redeemer is born. Let slaves rejoice, for their master is born. Let free people rejoice, for their liberator is born. Let all Christians rejoice, for Jesus Christ is born. All God's people say.
Amen.
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 Amen. Oh.
Jesus Christ.